Blessed morning, my brothers and sisters, gathered on site and online. We are continuing with our sermon series on the Gospel of John. And we pray that our studies in the cell group would have given us a very enriching time of study so that we can more fully immerse ourselves in how God's Word can minister to us. Today, we go to John chapter 4. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we pray that you will speak your word to us and illumine our understanding through your Spirit in this Lent season, so that we will be evermore reformed into the image, transformed into the likeness of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The 15th century was the age of discovery. That was the time when Europeans would go to many, many new land in order to expand their colonies. The Spanish were one of the first to reach South America. But unfortunately, they lost many ships due to shipwreck. They lost many sailors because they were trying to sail through uncharted waters. And there was an incident when some natives from Peru, they were sailing past and near to a Spanish ship. But as they sailed near to that ship, they realized that there was something very wrong with that ship. They saw all the Spanish sailors, they were lying on the deck of the ship. They were just motionless. The mouths were dry, the lips swollen. They seemed to be dying of thirst. And apparently, they had lost and finished up all their drinking water. And so the Peruvian sailors sailed near, and they cry out in their own language, "Can we help you?" And then Spanish cry out, "Water, we need water." Now, of course, the Peruvians couldn't understand Spanish, but from the look of their condition, they knew that the Spanish needed water. And so they told the Spanish, "Just lower your bucket into this, the sea, just draw up the water, and just drink." So the Spanish, of course, couldn't understand Peruvian, but they realized that they had been misunderstood. And so they insisted, "We can't drink that water. We need drinking water." Again, the Peruvians insisted, "Lower your bucket, draw up the water, and drink." They even, through their action, threw out the buckets and pulled the water up in order to show the Spanish what they meant. And again, the Spanish insisted that they needed drinking water. So that encounter between the Peruvians and the Spanish was a matter of life and death. It was a matter of life and death. And just like how Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus in chapter 3 and the Samaritan woman in chapter 4 was a matter of life and death as well. And after Jesus restored Jewish worship by clearing the temple, he went on to reform Jewish teaching in the encounter with Nicodemus. And here today in chapter 4, Jesus would go on to rectify Samaritan worship, Samaritan teaching in this encounter with the woman at the well. And in so doing, we shall know what it means to encounter and know Jesus Christ as the giver of life, giver of living water, and what it means for us to respond in three ways. The first way to respond is to receive the life from Christ. And when Jesus requested the Samaritan woman for water, that encounter with him led to him offering living water to her. And it is written in verses 10 to 11, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?" Now, what was she thinking about? In those days, there were only two kinds of water to draw from. First kind, well water. Second kind, living water. But according to the people's understanding in those days, what was she thinking about when she heard the words living water. Living water in those days refers to water flowing in streams, in rivers, in springs. In other words, moving water, not just stagnant water in a well. And that was why the woman was puzzled. How was it possible for Jesus, who was not a native in that place, and without any equipment, could have access to living water that is flowing, that is moving from a spring, from a stream, from a river? And from this exchange, we begin to see how Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman, they were constantly focused on what? Earthly things. And Jesus was trying to move them to focus on heavenly things. For Nicodemus, he was thinking about physical birth. Jesus was talking about spiritual rebirth. And the Samaritan woman, she was thinking about literal water. Jesus was trying to help her to focus on living water. So what did Jesus mean by living water? Since the Old Testament, God was known to be the giver of life, giver of water. When the Israelites journeyed through the wilderness, it was God who provided them with water to sustain them throughout that difficult journey through the wilderness. And whenever the Israelites fell into idolatry, the prophets that God sent would always challenge them that they have forsaken God, who is the source of water. For example, in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And in today's passage, Jesus Christ described himself as a source, as the giver of living water. And we understand more fully later in the gospel that he was referring to the Holy Spirit. Living water, referring to the Holy Spirit. But despite Jesus' offer, look closely at her reply in verses 11 to 12, and we will see something deeper about Samaritan religion. The woman replied Jesus, saying, "Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Now, what was she thinking about? Why did she respond in that way? She was saying that, firstly, the Samaritans traced their ancestry to Jacob, to his son Joseph, and to the two tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. Secondly, the Samaritans were in possession of Jacob's well, from which he, his sons, and his livestock drank from. Therefore, the Samaritans found confidence in the succession from Jacob's line and the sustenance from Jacob's well. That was the source of Samaritan confidence. That was what the woman was trying to say to Jesus. And Jesus challenged that confidence in verses 13 to 14. "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So here's the point, that literal water from Jacob's well can quench physical thirst, but only the living water of Jesus Christ can quench spiritual thirst. And therefore, spiritual thirst can happen because of lineage without real spirituality. What does it mean? That is the kind of spiritual thirst that happened when the Samaritan woman thought that because she descended from Jacob's line and drank from Jacob's well, she was fine. In other words, she placed spiritual confidence on earthly things. You got it? Spiritual confidence on earthly things. And in the same way, that is the kind of spiritual thirst that happens, lineage without real spirituality, if we think that we are fine because I grew up in a Christian household and my parents are Christian, I was infant baptized, I grew up in church, I even studied in a mission school, therefore I must be fine. In fact, when the Samaritan woman asked Jesus, "Are you greater than our father Jacob?" she was essentially asking fundamentally, who is greater than Jacob? Who is greater than Jacob? But she spoke more than she knew, because Jacob's well was a source of literal water. Jesus Christ is a giver of living water, because Jesus Christ indeed greater than Jacob. So as mentioned at the beginning, Spanish sailors, they're all lying on the deck. They're all dying of thirst. And you have a crew of Peruvian sailors who came and told them to just lower your buckets a few times and just get the water and just drink. And time and again, they insisted that they needed fresh drinking water. And the exchange became an exchange of life and death. But after a few exchanges, the Spanish, out of frustration and also out of desperation, okay, just lower the bucket. And just prove the Peruvians that the water cannot be drunk. They lower the buckets into the sea, pull up the water, and they realize, what, not salty seawater, fresh drinking water. And they were puzzled, they were shocked, they were surprised. How could it be? How could it be that they were dying of thirst when surrounded by fresh drinking water? Because unknown to them, they were sailing through uncharted waters. They were anchored off the coast of the mouth of the Amazon River. Amazon River is the longest and mightiest freshwater rivers in the world. Discharges huge volumes of fresh drinking water out into the sea. And they were anchored right at the mouth. And they were dying of thirst, surrounded by fresh drinking water. And likewise, there are those among us who are placing our spiritual confidence on earthly things. And we do not know that we are literally dying of spiritual thirst. And why dying of spiritual thirst when living water is living readily available, offered to us by Jesus Christ? Christ is the giver of life. Today, will we go forth to receive the life from Christ? The second way to respond is to reform in the light of Christ. In the encounter between Jesus and the woman, we have to pay attention to two important shifts in the dialogue. We see that first shift in verses 15 to 18. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." Apparently, the woman was a serial adulteress. She lived with one man after another, and she had a very bad reputation. So when Jesus offered her living water, he made the first shift in the dialogue, as indicated at that point. That shift in the dialogue was to invite her to come out into the light, to deal with her past. Got that? Come out into the light, deal with the past. But to avoid that attention on the past, she pivoted to another shift in the dialogue. How? By taking refuge in religion. Got that? Taking refuge in religion. Look at verses 19 to 20. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship." She took refuge in religion when Jesus pointed out her past. What was the background? Why did she say those things? The background was that compared to the Jews, the religious understanding of the Samaritans was limited. They only had the first five books of Moses. Because of that, they rejected the Jerusalem temple as a place where people must and should gather to worship God. Instead, they worship at the religious site at Mount Gerizim. Mount Gerizim, that's right. Why Mount Gerizim? Because Abraham built an altar at Shechem, which was beneath Mount Gerizim. Secondly, it was at Mount Gerizim that God blessed the Israelites. And so they rejected Jerusalem and worshiped at the religious site at Mount Gerizim instead. So if the first question was, who was greater than Jacob? Second question, where is holier than Gerizim? That was essentially what she was trying to say. That was the refuge that she found in religion, in Gerizim. And Jesus responded, but the hour is coming and is now here when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. What Jesus is saying is that God is spirit. He's not confined to any geographical location, neither Jerusalem, neither Gerizim. And the way to properly worship God in spirit is with a spiritual posture rather than a physical location. And the way to worship God in truth is to worship God in accordance to how God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ and as enabled by the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The way to God, the truth of God, and the life from God. And so later in the Gospel, we will understand the Holy Spirit being described as the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. And here is the point. To worship God in spirit and truth is to worship God as revealed through Christ and enabled by the Spirit. To worship God in spirit and truth is to worship God as revealed through Jesus Christ and enabled by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, spiritual thirst can happen when there is religion without true transformation. Religion without true transformation. That was the kind of spiritual thirst that happened when the Samaritan woman avoided having to deal with her past and took refuge in Gerizim. And in the same way, that is the kind of spiritual thirst that happens when we find refuge in going through the motion in our religious life, doing all the right religious things, doing all the right Christian things, but avoid a true transformation and encounter with the Lord. We go through the motion. We do all the right Christian things in order to avoid God, to avoid a true transformation. Doesn't this picture remind you of anything? Some of you maybe see that in the dogs that you keep and then you have this dog tag. But actually, for those who have completed national service, we remember that as the ID tag, dog tag, identity tag that we must wear during our national service. Now, do you recall what was being engraved on the ID tag, on the dog tag? NRIC number, blood group, drug allergy. So that if anything happens, a proper treatment can be given to you. But do you recall at the flip side, there's something else that has been engraved? Huh? Do you recall what was that? Not your name. No one is interested in your name in army. Yeah. It was the soldier's religion. Religion. Why? Because in the unfortunate occasion of combat death, a proper burial could be done for you according to your religious affiliation. Religion. But there is actually another practical use for it. You know what is it? In times of national service, when your army friends challenge you because of your seemingly unchristian behavior and say, you Christian, you need to do is to take out the ID tag and say, Christian. And it silences everybody. because it was inscribed on the ID tag, Christianity. Dog tag Christianity. Dog tag religion. And perhaps that describes some of us as well, in the way that we live our lives. We do all the Christian stuff, we take refuge in religion, we avoid God, we avoid true transformation, we avoid true encounter with God. Just like how the Samaritan woman was trying to do when exposed in a very gentle way by Jesus. Jesus Christ is the giver of life. Jesus Christ is the giver of light. And today, will we go forth to reform in the light of Christ? The third way to respond is to labor with Christ. When Jesus asked the Samaritan woman for a drink, the tension was far more intense than we could appreciate. Firstly, there was a cultural tension. In those days, the men and the women do not approach each other to talk with one another in public. There was a cultural tension. And there was also a racial tension as well, because the Jews saw the Samaritans as impure Jews, because after the fall of the northern kingdom of Israel in 722 BC, the Jews in the northern kingdom intermarried with the Gentiles who were brought into the area. So the Jews in the southern kingdom saw them as impure Jews. There was also a religious tension as well, because Samaritans, any encounter with them would defile a Jew. They were considered ceremonially unclean. Any encounter with a Samaritan woman, and worse still, drink from the jar, it would totally defile you. And so there was a cultural tension, there was a racial tension, there was a religious tension. And that was why she was totally taken aback when Jesus approached her to talk to her and even asked for a drink. She was totally taken aback. But by reaching out beyond social barriers, cultural hindrances, religious obstacles, Jesus shows us that to labor in God's work is our urgent assignment. It's our urgent assignment. And furthermore, Jesus shows us a second dimension of being part of God's work in his exchange with the disciples when he came back. When the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat," and they said to him, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." And so the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." And here we see an even greater contrast in earthly things versus heavenly things. For Nicodemus, it was physical birth. Jesus said spiritual rebirth. For the Samaritan woman, literal water. Jesus said, living water. For the disciples, it was physical food. Jesus said, it's spiritual food. And so, the first question was, who is greater than Jacob? If the second question was, where is holier than Gerizim? Third question, what is better than food? And Jesus Christ shows us that the one who labors in God's work will find true, ultimate fulfillment. Because to labor in God's work is our urgent assignment. It is our ultimate fulfillment. And we begin to understand that, we realize why is it that so many people around us in our lives continue in spiritual thirst because of our salvation without urgent outreach. Salvation without urgent outreach. And we see how Jesus overcame social barriers, cultural hindrances, religious obstacles to reach out to the Samaritan woman. And if Jesus could cross into Samaria, where is our Samaria? Where is our Samaria? What are the barriers? What are the hindrances? What are the obstacles that prevent us from crossing into Samaria to reach out to the people in our lives who are all in spiritual thirst? Quite a number of years ago, there was an American reality TV entitled 60 Day In. 60 Day In. It was suspected that there was some corruption and illegal activities in a prison. And so the prison warden wanted to recruit 7 volunteers to go undercover into prison as prison inmate. Wow, you ask, well, people want to sign up for this kind of thing? Yes, certainly. There were people who wanted to volunteer for this, 7 volunteers. They must undergo briefing, orientation to understand prison system. They must go through orientation training in order to survive the system and not get into trouble. So, 7 volunteers were prepared. Their identities only known to the prison warden. The prison warden also installed CCTV on the walls and the ceilings to try to capture footages for the reality show. One of them who volunteered was a former U.S. Marine, and he signed up because he wanted to be a police officer. He wanted first-hand experience of criminal psychology. And after surviving that whole show, he gave an interview, and what he said were these words. I realized that the majority of inmates I was with were not necessarily bad people. They just made bad choices and mistakes. So are there people whom we ignore because of our prejudices? Are there people whom we ignore because of our prejudices? From our Sarah Active Aging Center to the Mandarin speaking elderly, to the New Life Ministry to prison inmates, to the Haven Ministry to the homeless, to the Hello Class to the foreign domestic helpers, to availing our church premises for Filipino and Mizo congregations in the afternoon, PSPC has been, still is, and will continue to be a place of shelter for the homeless, a place of refuge for the vulnerable, a place of hospitality for the foreigners. From Jesus' own example, we move on to the example of the Samaritan woman. At first, she came to the well to draw water, but the discovery of Jesus Christ, who promised her living water, she was so overjoyed that she left the water that she had gone out to draw to return to the town. But furthermore, we need to understand, why did she go out to draw water at the 6th hour? 6th hour. 6th hour, according to Jewish timing, was midday. In those days, women folk would go out to draw water in the morning or before sunset. Not midday. Why? Too hot lah. Too hot to go out and draw water at midday. They will go out in the morning. They will go out before sunset to draw water. So why did that woman, that Samaritan woman, go out at midday, 6 hours, to draw water? Because she had such a bad reputation as a serial adulteress. She wanted to lie low. She wanted to avoid people. That was why she wanted to go out and draw water at the 6th hour at midday. But after that transforming encounter with Jesus Christ, she would return to the town to testify. And when Jesus called his first disciples, remember, he invited Andrew and John with come and see. And Philip reached out to Nathanael with come and see. And the woman went back to the town and said, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? In other words, the Samaritan woman overcame the shame of her past in the encounter with Christ to reach out to the people in the town. So are there people whom we avoid because of our past? People whom we avoid because of our past. but they remain in spiritual tests. This year, we started our church anniversary theme of celebrating God's faithfulness, continuing the mission, with the Sermon and Bible Study series on natural evangelism. And that should equip us with the mindset, the framework, skill set to begin the work of personal evangelism. And that should lead us to Alpha Course that is starting at the end of the month. And there are many who continue in spiritual tests because of our salvation without urgent outreach. Jesus Christ is calling us to labor in this work so that others will know him as the giver of life, others will know him as the giver of light. Today, will we go forth to labor with Christ? So having water is a matter of life and death, and having spiritual water is a matter of spiritual life and death. Having received that living water ourselves, will we go forth to lead others to that living water as well? That is readily available and offered by Christ. In July 1939, in California, in the US, there was a man who was driving back to the coal mine where he was working. Along the way in that desert road, his car broke down. So he came out of the car and walked on foot in order to find help. He started out at the southern end of the Death Valley. It was called the Death Valley because temperatures could go up as high as 50 degrees Celsius. That's right, 50 degrees Celsius. Surrounded by bushes, cactus, sand dunes, it was one of the hottest and most desolate places in the US. And the man walked for a few kilometers on a straight road. Then he began to wander off the road into the wilderness. After 15 kilometers, he finished his water and threw the bottle away. And the thirst was so extreme that he began to pull out bushes out from the desert sand and try to squeeze the moisture from the roots to try to get as much moisture and water that he could get. Subsequently, he walked around in circles because he lost his way. And he collapsed after walking for 30 kilometers. He collapsed because of heat exhaustion. A few years later, two workers from the coal mine were driving out. They saw that abandoned car and they traced footsteps and they found that man collapsed in the sand with his face in the sand, with his hands dug into the sand. His body was raw and blistered because of the desert sun. Why was he found in that awkward position with his face and hands dug into the sand? Because in his dying moments, out of desperation for water, he was trying to dig and dig and dig for water beneath. But there was none. So he died of thirst after walking for 30 kilometers in the Death Valley. But a short distance away from where he collapsed, just the next sand dune, just 800 meters away, there was an oasis. It was the Saratoga Springs, just 800 meters away. He died 800 meters away from water. And why should we and the people in our lives continue in spiritual thirst when living water is readily available and offered by Jesus Christ today? Let us receive that living water. and lead others to that living water, because it is a matter of life and death. Amen. Let us all stand as we respond. My brothers and sisters, coming to John chapter 4, Jesus Christ the Messiah ratified Samaritan worship and teaching, leading to the offer of living water, leading to the salvation of the Samaritan town. And the challenge for us this day, what does it mean for us? To receive the life from Christ. What it means for us to reform in the light of Christ, and what it means for us to labor together with Christ. Let this closing song spur us on, lead us on, to find that refreshment